Welcome in to Watch Walk-Ons, most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. Caitlin Clark has found herself back in the media attention. I don't think she's ever left. Every single day, there's stories about her. She's getting beat up, bullied, potentially at this point. In the WNBA, we talk about what they should do about it, if the league should protect her more, if her teammates should protect her more. We bring up NCAA 25, if we're going to be playing that game, the NCAA lawsuit, are Kevin and I going to get paid, and a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. I don't know if I'd call it a vacation.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast episode, I don't know, 521. It's been a while. We had Austin Blythe on, then we had Mitch King on. Both great episodes, both great reviews. Haven't had just a Grant, Kevin, Tyler podcast in a minute. It's a lot happened. A lot has happened. In fact, we haven't even talked about just the three of us, just this podcast. We haven't even really broken down that Jan Jensen is officially the head coach of the Iowa basketball team, and Lisa Bluter stepped away. We didn't even.
Are we sure?
We might have mentioned it in a conversation, like, you know, because, you know, Caitlin and the Iowa basketball team always comes up in conversation now. But, you know, not that this is an Iowa women's basketball podcast, but
it's not.
It feels like it's kind of been for the last.
I was going to say, it's not an Iowa women's basketball podcast.
Wouldn't call it NADA. You know, we need the list. It's like the Browns quarterbacks over the last 15 years or whatever, that jersey where they just keep adding athletic tape. We are a Iowa football podcast, Iowa wrestling podcast, Iowa women's basketball podcast, JMU Dukes podcast.
Oh, we have to put on the JMU hat again.
Iowa Western podcast.
Yep.
Is there any others? Just those five.
Just those five for now. But
we're open. We're open.
Always open. Always open.
Are we? We're sort of a quasi Broncos podcast.
Yes.
Not as much anymore. Not as much anymore.
I don't know. Some are saying almost as more. Some are saying more.
Some are saying.
I heard a lot of people saying that. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. We're a Panthers podcast. No love for Josie, huh, Grant?
Oh no, love Josie. Just. Thought he looked better in orange. That's all.
Hey, boys, doing tonight? Kev, you're rocking a little, rope hat there. Nice, crisp hat.
Oh yeah, this is from the aforementioned bachelor party. This is the Wynn golf course hat.
Mm.
Anytime I go to play a really nice golf course, I always get a hat. That's my.
Did one. You get one from the Cascada as well?
Sure as hell did.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
That's a good little niche collection. Not just a hat collection. It's a nice golf course hat collection.
Mm, yep. So. Got one at both the courses we played for Bose. Got one from my other buddies that we played in Arizona. Got one from a nice course I played in Colorado. So, yeah, that's kind of like my thing.
Good old golf game. Grant, yeah. You been on the links lately?
I have been on the links.
A lot.
I have. Right? Yeah, a decent amount. Yeah.
It's caddy Grant season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you caddying?
Yeah, I'm caddying right now.
It's a great job, man. I kind of wish I caddied as – when I was younger.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad deal at all. Just get to enjoy the course, be outside.
Do you do like one round or two rounds a day?
They only give you one. A lot of caddies. Yeah. Working on it, though. You know, might, you know, get it early enough, see if anyone's floating around. Like, hey.
What's a standard tip these days?
Standard tip?
Or 18.
It's a decent amount, we'll say.
What's a percentage? Just give me a percentage, you know?
Percentage? I mean, it's like.
So you're the guy at the end of the course. You're the guy at the end of the course. You spin the tablet around, and you're like,
it's probably like 25%, 30%. Depends on who your guy is. Some people got more rapport than others, and some got a.
Is this a situation where a couple guys step up? Yeah. Like, oh, I got this group today. You know, I got this group of guys. I can tell these guys they roll a little higher. I'm gonna put on the.
There are some rollers for sure. And like it's a private club, so no one's like hurting, I guess. But yeah, some guys got deep pockets. They're like, oh, I'll just throw a stupid amount of money for no reason. But I usually those guys are got the like, oh, this has been my caddy for like 5 years. I'm only seeing this guy. So
I feel like I feel like if I was caddying, which Kevin, I'm kind of with you. In fact, I might just start caddying.
Do it.
I might just go find some place to caddy. I feel like if I could tell if the demeanor, okay, the actions of the group that showed up that morning were kind of high roller-esque. These guys, you know, they roll a little deeper. I'd start throwing out some compliments that were total bullshit. I would just be, dude. Nah,
man, because especially in golf, like
they can tell that.
Not about their golf game. Just about them.
I don't know. I think
just a very subtle, like, you look pretty fit. Like, do you work out? You know, like, it's like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, that works with some people. It just doesn't work with others.
Yeah. It's true. They got a little caddy card or whatever, where it's like, hey, if you got to complain about the caddy, because like,
really,
you can write down, like, you can check box of like, this caddy needs to improve on this.
Wow.
And one of the things is like excessive talking. They don't really like, you're really supposed to like, you're not supposed to like that group's there to golf. They're there to enjoy their time. And you're just there to like assist.
You definitely don't want to ruin their round.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, hey, you know, like you got to, looking jack today. It's like, let them play their golf and you wipe a club down.
You slip some compliments in there.
Are you reading putts? Are you,
I try a lot of times they won't ask cause they like, you have it indicated on your bib, like what kind of rank you are. Mm. And like, they're only going to ask like the top
course guys. Course knowledge is something that Grant could improve on.
Yeah, they literally have on your bib like your ball knowledge. Like, they're like, hey, this guy's
Grant doesn't know ball.
This guy don't know ball.
Well, I don't know specific course. They're like, which is fair. Like, I've only seen it like three times. Like, most of the people playing have seen it way more than me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know enough to be like if I just look at it, I'd be like, okay, yeah, let's. Put about like two balls right of the pin. It should be enough, but I don't know.
Yeah. Vegas was the first time I ever played with a caddy. They had caddies at both courses, and I feel like they each shaved me at least 5 to 8 strokes each course.
That much?
Yeah, for 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, like they were seeing stuff on the greens that I just was not seeing whatsoever, and, you know, telling me where to play some certain shots, and it's like, it makes a big difference, especially if you never played a course before too.
I get that.
If you make it to a caddy one of those courses, like you're doing well for yourself.
Oh God. Can you just, for those caddies, you know, it's like Vegas. I feel like you could always just tip a poker chip. Could you just throw chips at those guys? Would they take them?
You could probably not.
It's probably frowned upon.
It's probably not etiquette, right?
Also probably can't go to their boss and be like, cash this out for me, please. And then
you could just go.
Well, at the Wynn Golf Course, you literally walk through the casino to get there, so they could easily go to the cashier and cash it out.
Okay.
But, that wouldn't be very nice.
Well, hopefully Grant is a favorite on the course this summer and makes a lot of money.
I will say, though, if you want to caddy, though, Kluver, your best chance is apparently to go to the this whatever golf tournament was in Canada this weekend on the ATP Tour, because they just had a random guy
caddy. I saw that. Some caddy went down, and so they had to pull a fan from the crowd.
It was Fluff, who used to be Tiger Woods' caddy, famously.
What?
And he got down? Hurt. I don't know what happened.
Twisted
an
ankle?
Yeah. And then they just gave a random guy a bib, and he just picked up a bag and went.
That's incredible. I mean, your average golf course is, you know, for people who aren't like,
it's like 7 miles.
Is it like 7?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 4 or 5.
6,500 to 8,000 yards. So
I mean, 6,400 yards would be a mile. 6,400 meters.
4 miles.
Or 4 miles. Sorry. So
yeah. It's probably in the 5 mile range.
Yeah. Because you're not walking direct to the pin every time.
Yeah.
That's a decent amount of movement in a day if a caddy isn't staying in shape off the course, you know?
Carrying a 30-pound bag.
I mean, the guy's name is Fluff. Is he a big guy?
Husky. He was a, you know, not skill position.
Speaking of golf, there's a lot of golf stuff in my timeline recently. What's the rage over this Australian chick who's just ripping darts on the course? You see
Charlie?
This? Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Hull is her last name.
Oh yeah, she started smoking cigarettes recently to quit vaping.
No,
which it worked.
So. Of course it worked.
That it did.
That's the worst way out of vaping I've ever heard.
I mean, she was clearly joking. Like, I mean,
but. Oh, I thought you were being dead serious.
No, that's what she told reporters.
That's what she said.
That's hilarious. I really wanted to stop. I saw the reports on vaping, and just knew I needed to quit. So I picked up Camels.
Hey, we're bringing. It's like, what happened to the good old days? Just the old cigarettes. Why has everything got to be a robot now?
Dude, actually, what's crazy is those. You look at some of those old like 1970s, 1980s advertisements, and dude, like cigarettes are just everybody smokes cigarettes, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was they did a study and they said they were trying to answer the question, who is better for the economy, people that smoke or people who don't smoke? Or they theorized, people that don't smoke, right? Like, you know, you don't have to take care of their health care, like they're going to be healthier people. Wrong. Because smokers will die sooner after they retire, and you don't have to pay them their Social Security for 20 something.
And they counted that as being better for the economy?
Theoretically, yes, because it increases workforce participation rate. Coldest sense of economics, yeah.
Did Marlboro Red conduct this study?
Probably. In the name of capitalism,
yeah.
This study was, if you smoke, you're better for the economy. That's insane. I heard a statistic that back when our parents were born, it was like 44% of adults smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe it, man. Do you remember as a kid, like every time you went to a restaurant, it's like, do you want to be in the smoking or non-smoking?
Crazy. Do you remember the candy cigarettes?
Yeah. And the section, all it was like a wall that was like.
Yeah. There's literally, your booth can look over the 2-foot wall into the smoking booth. And you're like, it kind of feels like we're in the smoking section. Yeah. Huh?
Crazy.
But I don't know if you knew this, but like John Daly, when he was at Arkansas playing Division I golf, like serious golf, his coach instructed him to lose some weight, and his tip for him was to start smoking cigarettes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was appetite suppressant.
Yeah, that was his instruction for peak performance.
Nicotine. I mean, it's nicotine. People use nicotine all the time to lose weight. I would suggest it. There's
better ways to go about it, but yeah,
there's definitely healthier routes.
Well, what's cheaper, P90X or
a can of Zen? Maybe can of Zins should be our next. You know, we've done a beer, right? Maybe we should reach out to Zen and see if they want to do.
So speaking of like everyone used to smoke, that dude, I feel like everyone's fucking doing Zins these days.
I feel like I'm missing the bus.
Yeah, I feel left out when people are start passing.
But I'll be honest, I'm too big of a pussy to like even. I have no desire to do it, but I think I'd be scared to do it because I dipped a pouch one time in high school, and I was spinning. It felt like I was at the carnival, dude.
I remember my first dip. Yeah,
it was like it was that perfect.
Do you remember Andreas Jones took his first dip?
Oh my god.
Team meeting freshman year at camp.
I do.
Look over at this dude is fucking sweat. KF's like up there talking. He's like in like one of the long team meetings like early on in camp.
Man.
This dude is just like sweating his balls off, like just drenching from his face and just like,
buzzing.
He's struggling.
Dude. I remember that, and everybody knew about it. And he was poor guy.
Oh man,
he was from Texas.
I wonder what happened to him. What is he up to these days?
I would love to know.
Me too.
I
don't know anyone who can get in contact with him.
So you're probably going to hear from him after I make that clip, and he sees it. So
I don't think we will. I'd have to look. Wow, Kev, were you there when I accidentally almost got in a fight with him?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was on something in the dorm.
He was pretty sauced.
Some type of way. Yeah.
He was pretty sauced, allegedly, in the dorm room, and I came down from third
floor.
From third floor to second floor, and I thought he was just messing around.
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
And he kind of bodied me up, and we were cool. Like, we were, as far as I know, we're still cool to this day. Probably don't even remember me. But he bodied me up because he was just kind of looking for a fight. He was just in that drunk mode of, like, I'll punch anything right now. And I said some shit back to him that I should not have said. Just, like, egging him on, like, trying to, like, be tough guy, like, for in a funny way. And he, like, he damn near almost swung on me. So that was interesting. Ran my half marathon this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How was that?
It hurt.
What was your time?
It went poor relative to the original goal.
Oh, yeah?
Hot? It was humid that morning, dude.
That's tough.
And I will tell you what, humidity zaps you.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing I'm worried about for my triathlon. If it's hot and humid, I'm...
So...
Anyway, talk to me.
My brother and I went out 14, 15 weeks ago, and we said we want to run sub 140. Very aggressive goal for us. We're not runners.
Is that sub 8 minute pace?
A 7:38 pace.
Okay.
Very, very fast. Some of you listening, in fact, we did a collab with them. If you remember the, this was my bib.
Oh yeah.
For those watching the YouTube, we did custom Hawks by a Million bibs for for anyone who signed up using our code. Thank you for all of the walk-on army that signed up. Several of you on the race, middle of the race, came up behind me as you passed my slow ass and said, Kluve, what's up, baby? And I looked at you most likely and said, I'm not feeling too good. That's what I said to like four out of the five people that said hello mid-race. Great seeing everybody out there this weekend. Shout out to Michael, by the way, who puts on the race. Michael, if you're listening to this, I know he occasionally catches up. Puts on an unbelievable event. I think there was like 4,000 runners. I mean, it's a huge race and it's a huge operation. He does an insane job. Awesome course. So we set out to run a 140 because he ran the KC half marathon 2 years ago. My brother did in 1:43:45 or something. So we were trying to cut about 4 minutes off of his time and break 140. 7:38 pace. Very aggressive for a fat kid who is built all fast twitch, no slow twitch.
Short legs.
Biomechanically not built to run long distance.
Disadvantageous.
This was a razor thin goal. We needed our prep to be perfect. It was not. So by race day, the goal was 145.
Okay.
Sub 145. We woke up and it was hotter than we had planned and it zapped us. And my quad and left knee started to, no excuses. I didn't do enough training, but we were not prepared. And I ran just over a 148. So,
I mean, that's still pretty damn good.
I think it's an 8:16 mile average.
Did you go out at like your 7:40 pace and then just eventually tail off? Or
yeah, what? We wanted to bank a little time in the beginning. I've ran this course a couple times before, and obviously, you start on that adrenaline, like the race starts and you're fresh and you hope to be a little bit quicker, a few seconds quicker in the front. On top of that, you go down a pretty significant hill in the beginning.
Okay.
And it's a good front of the race.
Sure.
And 2 miles in, we kind of clocked like an 8:02 mile one and like a 7:53 mile two.
Oh, so then you're never catching up.
No. I looked at it and I'm like, it's not happening. Like, I'm going to try and hold 8 minute miles, which would be exactly like a 145. And I did that to like mile seven and I ran it. I just ran out of juice. Like, I didn't have it. So I had to back off. And at that point it was just run a PR for me. My PR for a half marathon was 153 something. So I was like, I need to go under 150 to feel good. I did that.
Were you like monitoring your heart rate during it or something like that? Or like,
you know, I didn't even look at my heart rate most of the time.
Yeah. So it was just like, you're just gauging, like my legs just aren't there. Or I'm breathing too
hard. It was a feeling thing. Yeah. The first thing was that I felt, you know, through this whole training, granted we started back in February, so it was colder. You didn't sweat as much in February, March training, but even the last month it's been warmer. I've ran in the afternoons when it's into the 60s and 70s. I was sweating more in the first 2 miles due to the humidity Saturday morning than I remember sweating at all during any of my training runs. Like it was, I immediately knew, you just know, you can feel it. Yeah. Like I felt heavy legs. Like I taper did not go well because I had a migraine in the middle of the, about 10 days out from the race that shut me down for like 3 days.
Mm.
A lot of excuses just to say that I ran 148. So not horrible, for a 200 pound guy who's 5'10", but some embarrassing moments. Got beat by many people older and way less fit looking than me.
Running is just one of those things though, man. It's like, you just do a lot of it. Like you're just going to be good at it. It doesn't matter really how old you are, you know?
Let me tell you, dude,
as long as you're healthy, right?
I've never, it's happened every time I've ran this. It's the third time I've run it. I've never been more humbled than every time I run this race. And the people that pass me who are working a lot less harder than I am. Mm. And I'm just like, the only thing in my head, Kev, is, well, they're not running a 5:10.5 faster than me. I know. That's the only thing that makes me feel better. Is like,
they don't got their shoulder mobility.
There. I just chalk it up to, well, they were born with slow to Kevin. There was a woman at mile 9. I'll never forget this. She was at least 50 years old. Not an athlete at all. I would even call her a little bit overweight. She stopped at one of the water stations, stopped. Didn't keep running. I grabbed a cup, kept running. She stopped. We were neck and neck with each other. She caught me 4 minutes later. I got passed by an Amish lady in a full skirt, like Amish, you know, get up.
No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, dude.
The 70 plus male winner of the race beat me. Somebody 70 years old beat me. Like, so just a lot of hump. There were.
Well, I mean, it's running is just one of those things, man. Like,
I can't tell you how many high school girls whooped my ass on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If you are a runner and that is what your sport is and you run 5 times plus a week, like you're running 20 plus miles a week on the regular, like you're going to be just a much better runner.
And it's not to take anything away from them. It just pisses me off.
Yeah. But do you remember Goggins' book where he's talking about like that first 100-mile race he's done? The picture's in there. And there's this small little Asian woman that he's keeping up with for like the first 20 miles.
Yep.
And then he starts shitting himself and then misses, I forget what her name is. And just keeps on going.
Yeah.
Just keeps on going. Yeah.
It's a very humbling, it's a humbling sport because I am the least bit true runner, like you say. And I know that it's even me in my head. I know that if I go and you throw me and all these people that whoop my ass 20 physical tasks, like sports tasks, or like, hey, throw a football, throw a baseball, catch something, go out and skate on ice, if you gave us 20 athletic events, I probably win 18 or 19 of them against 99% of people. But if you just want us to run long distance, you got a real good shot at beating me into the dirt. And that's part of why I do it, because it's a mental challenge and it's humbling. And it also makes you fitter. Dude, in 3 months, my resting heart rate dropped 5 beats per minute training for this thing.
I believe it. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to where we are, 24 minutes into the podcast. Thanks for everybody who joined in on the Wash Up Walk-On's half marathon. Maybe we'll do it again next year. Maybe when I finish that race, I have zero, maybe even negative desire to run any further than 3 or 4 miles at this point for a very long time. So that's where we're at. Somebody who is still running a bunch up and down the court is Caitlin Clark. And boys, if there was the amount of attention on me that Caitlin has on her 24/7, I'd be done.
Yep. No, thank you.
I don't know. There's no way she looks at Twitter, right?
You never know, man. Like you wouldn't think that Josie Jewell is the guy who looks at Twitter, but the guy searches his name just looking for people.
If you know him, you would.
Yeah, exactly. I would hope not.
You guys saw the, in fact, I believe they're playing right now. First of all, I don't know who schedules these WNBA games. The Fever have played like twice as many games as every other team.
Gotta sell those tickets, man.
And I don't know if it's because of the Caitlin Clark hype, like they did it on purpose to like capitalize on all this, this early, like new fandom of this season, but they're playing in their, I believe what is their 12th game tonight. And yes, just yesterday, there were some teams in the league who had only played six games. Yes, that's correct, Kevin. Fever versus...
How the fuck does that work?
You're asking...
It's not like it's baseball where games are getting rained out.
Dude, I don't know.
They had a back-to-back this weekend.
Yeah, they played yesterday.
Very, very rare.
So, and in fact, yesterday, 2 days ago when this podcast comes out, was the first matchup of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the W. Okay, so that's big. Big storyline. Obviously, that's been a big college storyline the last couple of years. Fever actually got a win. They're 2-9 now, I think.
Watch 2-8.
I'll take it. Don't let them get hot.
But it did not come without controversy. So some player that nobody's really heard of until yesterday, named Kennedy Carter. At one point in the game, I believe there was I think the Sky scored or came out of a timeout or something. Caitlin was, everybody else is down the court. Caitlin gets face guarded all the time. This Kennedy girl is guarding her. Caitlin's waiting to receive the inbounds pass to dribble it down the floor, and she just body checks her like it's a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Totally non-basketball play. And this has sparked outrage, not outrage, but just like a continued discussion amongst the basketball WNBA community, Iowa community, Caitlin Clark fandom that has highlighted really what Caitlin has had to deal with through these first 10 games, 12 games of her career. And that is the sort of the topic of conversation that I wanted to bring to the table. Where is the line for, hey, Rook, here's our introduction for you to the league. We're going to be physical with you versus, crossing the line and like being ridiculous. And like, because what's funny is now it's not funny, but everybody's response on Twitter is, They're gonna break their one product who brought them private flights and double the viewership.
What are the viewership stats? Have they like significantly spiked this year? Grant, can you look that up?
Yeah, Grant can maybe pull some specific numbers. I want to think, or I want to say the last. I don't know if it's a specific stat that I heard, but I believe on 4 or 5 different networks, similar to how every Hawkeye game was the game, the highest viewed game on a network the last year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say out of 5 or 6 networks, the Fever have been.
Holy fucking shit.
Well, there you go. Average viewership of regular season WNBA games on ESPN networks. In 2021, it was 306,000 per game. This year so far, it's 1.4 million. So it's actually. It's actually quadrupled.
That's the first 5 games of 2024. So, yeah.
So there's your
what changed this year, huh?
I saw the Fever also already passed their total season attendance from last year.
Really?
I think it was in the first 8 games or something like that.
Well, and they've only had like 5 home games.
Oh, I didn't even consider that.
I think they've had. I'd have to look, but I know they've been on the road a lot. They've had a crazy schedule. They're currently down 30. To the New York Liberty, who I believe is one of the better teams in the league.
Is this coach going to get fired? I hear a lot of people talking shit about the coach.
Well, that brings up another element of the discussion. There have been at times, and I'm no basketball guru, but I know a little bit about floor spacing and how to run an offense, a motion offense, and how you should kind of run a 2-man game. Dude, at times this team is running around with their head cut off. I mean, it is disorganized. The coach has intentionally pulled Caitlin back from like the green light that she had in college, which a lot of people have questioned. Granted, Caitlin's had a couple really poor shooting games, but she's a rhythm shooter. She's an in the flow kind of shooter, and they're working on a different offense. Her teammates have not caught up to her passing ability, not even close. The amount of assists that she could have, and she's got a lot of them. She set a really cool, or she didn't set, but she, are you guys, Grant, I know you probably know who it is. Kevin, are you familiar with Sabrina Ionescu?
I know the name.
So went to Oregon. She's a stud. I think she's like in her third or fourth year in the league. Her and Sabrina are the only two players in WNBA history through their first 10 games to have 50 plus points, 50 plus rebounds, 50 plus assists. So Caitlin's doing everything that probably she's expected to do. I think she's averaging 16 or 17 points a game. And she's getting all of the attention. Like, but there's a lot of interesting conversations going on now. Like, I don't know if this coach has a lot of time.
I mean, they've had back-to-back number one picks, right?
Correct. And they are going to be in the running for a third year.
Basketball, you only have five people on the court. So you have two really good players. Like, you should have at least an average team.
Aaliyah Boston has been great at times and just kind of okay others. She was the rookie of the year last year in the league. They have this Kelsey Mitchell chick who I believe is on the all-time scoring list. I believe she went to Ohio State. She is one of the fastest girls I've ever seen dribble a basket. Like, she is so fast and has great handles. Like, they have this Nalissa Smith girl who's like a taller big on their team. She can score, but something about their chemistry, or maybe it's their depth, I don't know. They get worked. They're down 30. They're down 29 points right now, and this is not uncommon. Like, they've gotten their asses whipped a lot. From what I can tell, their coach, she was with the Fever as an assistant maybe 5 or 6 years ago. She ended up going to like into college for a year. I think she was an assistant coach for another WNBA team for a year or two. And now she's come back and she's in her second year as the head coach here. You know, there might be, there's a reason why this team is not good. Maybe she has something to do with it. I don't know. But a lot of people, especially in the first few games, are like, I was going to be a WNBA fan, and if the games are going to look like this, I'm not going to be a WNBA fan. Like, you're not going to have my viewership. It's gotten better, and Caitlin's sort of settled in and gotten better as well. But I don't know, Grant, how much have you caught? Have you watched any WNBA?
Yeah, I've watched some WNBA. Not all the games are on TV.
I've watched more WNBA than I've watched NBA.
Oh. I think I've watched more NBA just because all the games are on that, like basic television.
You're
like,
a certified sports fan too.
Yeah. Well, just like not every, like I don't have league pass for either league. And like you'd have to have league pass to watch every Fever game.
Right.
I just don't have
to. This is interesting. Caitlin, there's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Caitlin has been held to 3 points. That's not good. That might be why they're down.
Yeah. Back to back. It's tough. Good team. I mean,
it is.
Difficult stuff, but what do you think is the answer for getting these like the cheap shots? The people seem to guard Caitlin a little bit more physically than others. Like, how do we get rid of this? I guess we can't do anything, but how did the Fever get rid of this?
I think
what's the strategy?
I think what they did. So I had to look it up. I don't know if the NBA has a rule like this or what their system is, but the WNBA has a flagrant foul system where you rack up points for flagrant fouls that you accrue. And at certain amount of points, you are now suspended automatically.
Oh,
so they went back on this Kennedy Carter foul and they upgraded it to a flagrant one. From what I can tell, and I could be wrong on this, but essentially if you get up to there's a flagrant one and a flagrant two worth 1 and 2 points. Once you get to 5 points, like you hit that fifth point, you are suspended automatically one game. Once you hit 7 points, you're suspended automatically for 2 games, and every subsequent new flagrant foul that you get, you're suspended another 2 games after that. So I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know if the NBA has something like that. A lot of fans on Twitter have made a a good argument as well for like, hey, her teammates need to step up and potentially get a little bit aggressive back towards the other team. Like, hey, let's this isn't like, you know, we're not trying to start like all out brawls here, but Kev, you know, like let's really, you know, relate this to some receivers talking shit in practice back in 2016, 2017. And, you know, deep ball down the sideline. It happens to be the defensive side of the field where the defense is hanging out, you know, the reserves. Receiver catches it, you know, throws his hand in the face, shoves one of the DBs. What's that look like on a football field? I understand that football is a little bit of a different game. It's men. Men are maybe a little bit more physically aggressive by nature. But tell me what that looks like, because the Caitlin Clark foul, I think Aaliyah Boston walks over to her and like helps her up off the floor, but nobody says a word to the chick that did it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you see this in games all the time, not just Iowa games, but football games, in every freaking game that you might watch. If there's like some pushing and shoving, you're going to have your teammates come get your back. They're going to come get you up off the ground. They're going to come like grab you, and they're going to get in the other guy's face and shove them off you. It's like, go back. Like, we got his back. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You
know, there's gotta be some level
That's what it is. It's just having your teammates back.
You have to
back. You don't have to go start a fight, but at least, you know, get yourself between your teammate and whoever is causing that shit. You know,
it's a little bit tribal in a way. Like, I have to imagine a herd of elephant are in the desert in Africa, and there's a weak elephant that starts getting picked on by, I don't know, whatever tries to prey on the weak,
like lions or something.
Yeah. Lions come by, and the rest of the herd doesn't do anything about it. They just let the guy, like, they're going to sense that, they're going to smell blood, they're going to keep doing it.
I'd imagine if we ever saw that happen where, yeah, like one of our teammates is getting tossed around or something like that by some, like one or two other opposing players, and that was on film. And like, say it was happening to like one of our running backs, and some of our offensive linemen didn't come to help him out, that would be addressed in a team meeting.
I know I remember it being addressed. I remember that specifically. I want to say Brian or somebody, it might have even been KF, spoke up and said, "Hey, what are we doing? Pick our teammate up. What are we doing here? Come to your guy's support." It's something within you that's like, okay, he's wearing my colors. I fight for this side.
You don't have to escalate to the point of getting dumb penalties or anything, but right. Like, you know, go get your guy.
You got to at least say something. You got to put up a front somehow. And her teammates need to. And I think, you know, and then the coach is talking about how they've been submitting plays all year already through these first 12 games to the league, trying to get their attention on unnecessary fouls and aggression towards Caitlin specifically. Caitlin, I do think, has a tendency, less than people talk about it, less than people make it out to be, I do think there is a 5% ability when she gets hit that she kind of she looks very floppy in nature.
I think it's just a sport, man.
Sure. But it's an interesting thing. She's what do you think about, man, it's weird. What do you think about the responsibility of veterans in the league to take somebody like that who, whether they like it or not, they almost have to accept what she's done for their visibility? How do you approach that competitively? Is there any onus on the players to, I'm not even asking for them to like go easy on her. I'm not, but don't hurt her. Like, you would think, like, don't try and hurt this girl, like, or like intentionally bring bad negativity storylines to like her. I don't know. It's a weird sort of situation.
I don't know. It's got a lot of people talking about it. Maybe it's driving leadership up. Who knows?
Maybe it is. But
I
mean, you got it.
I just think that's something that happens to like star players who get a lot of attention.
And yeah.
bunch of other people don't like that. Like, Jordan got the shit beat out of him by the Pistons for years.
Bad. Bad.
Yeah. So, like,
I know. What's crazy is
there a comparison there? I don't know.
People have made the comparison. I've seen it in, not that I count these bot Twitter accounts for their opinion or they give them any credibility, but I've seen it in the discussion is like,
that was opposing team's game plan. It's like, we're going to beat the hell out of Jordan.
I think as an Iowa fan, as a Caitlin Clark fan, you know, this is a Caitlin Clark podcast added to the list. It's we're obviously biased. Like it's tough to see our, you know, the girl in the black and gold go out and get the shit beat out of her. But at the same time, she's handled it unbelievably well. I'm swinging on people. I'm a pussy and I'm swinging on people if they were beating me up this bad. Like,
well, it's funny you mention that. My idea was the Fever should add as a free agent just any UFC heavyweight who just has free time to play a goon role for the Fever and just like, who cares if she gets ejected? She's not playing, but like just enforce her.
I mean, surely there's someone on the bench who's not getting a whole lot of minutes who wouldn't be missed, right?
You want the Fever to sign Holly Holm.
Well, yeah, that's what any like no, and we need bigger than Holly Holm. Like, we need heavyweights. We need a big Holly Holm would be plenty. These girls are pretty tall. Like,
I don't think it matters, Grant. I think Holly Holm would step in.
Right, so here's the thing, though: is like, do you need it to be a UFC MMA fighter? Because like, the moment they take two swings on this person, they're never going to let them on an NBA.
Well, court the other team's going to be signing a free agent soon after that because this girl's going to be dead.
Yeah, like, well, I'm just saying, like, if it comes to fist to cuffs, we need our gal to win. Is what I'm saying.
So I think, yeah, yep, I get it.
WNBA into hockey where we allow fighting.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, well, we got the hip check already. So
I think that would bring more viewership. I think anything they're doing anything and everything right now to capitalize on this momentum.
Maybe that's like the answer for all sports is just allow fighting.
Just allow fighting to a certain extent. Yeah.
Yeah. So like baseball pitchers throwing at batters. Let them
rush the mound.
Exactly. Put the bat down. Let them go.
60-second rule.
Football, just, you know, give them a little time. See, when helmets come off, then
yeah,
and then it's done, right?
Yeah.
Basketball, I mean, they don't have anything that's going to hurt each other, so just let them go. You know,
give them like 45 seconds. You know,
yeah. Well, like Draymond, I think it was back in January, he just like rear naked choked Rudy Gobert in the middle of a play.
It's kind of similar. Draymond's kind of a dirty, like, you know, he's taking cheap shots on a lot of non-basketball plays, and he got suspended for it indefinitely. I think he tweeted about this whole situation. He said that the Fever need to sign an enforcer. And then somebody made a meme that said Draymond Green is going to be the next player signed for the Fever. So I don't know. It's interesting stuff. Kate Martin, though, just wanted to go to the draft and support Caitlin, and now she's like the sixth man for the Las Vegas Aces, the sixth woman. She's balling, dude.
It's cool, isn't it? Some people just need a chance, and some people are just good, athletic players, you know?
Veteran leadership and knowledge of the game is proving to be more valuable than just pure basketball skill, which, by the way, Kate Martin has and showed a lot of in this last tournament, but no one even really expected her to make the team. I'm pretty confident in saying that she is getting like the sixth or seven most minutes for the Aces right now, burying threes when she gets the opportunity. She plays her ass off all the time, which is obviously something that you can't teach, like effort and attitude. And Kate Martin has that. And she's so smart. She grew up around the game. Her aunt's the head coach of the Hawkeyes now.
Just being incredibly solid at the fundamentals.
I'm this close to using the walk-on card to buy us three Kate Martin Las Vegas Aces jerseys.
I thought you were going to say tickets. No, we're all going to Vegas.
We could go back to Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Hey, Belmont coming up soon. Could do another horse race.
I love watching the ponies. You got me going now, Grant.
We could go to Circa Stadium Swim with our Kate Martin jerseys on. Her jersey sold out, dude.
Yeah, I saw that. Crazy.
If you go to the Fanatics website and you go to the Las Vegas Aces tab, you can get a Aces jersey, but you have to customize it with the name and the number. Or the only one that's like an option is just Kate Martin's. I don't even think you can get a plum jersey or the other, like the MVP of the league. What's her face? Asia Wilson. Hawkeye, but you can get a Kate Martin. It's crazy. And I'm this close to ordering us some. They're $80. I'm not a jersey guy, self-admittedly, but
yeah,
seems like an opportunity. Kevin, you're going to be – oh, here's what I want. A lot of news, a lot of leaks, a lot of people getting the inside on the NCAA 25 game. How do we feel about that? Are we going to be – Grant, are you going to be buying and purchasing and playing that game? Kevin, are you?
I'd say Grant is minus 1,300 to get that game.
I don't think that there's a price in the 100s that they could make that game, and I won't purchase it.
You'd buy that game for $800.
It'd be hard to say no. Like they were floating around the it was like the deluxe package is $150, and everyone was mad about it. I was like, dude, like I'm such a sucker. Like they could make it.
What are you getting?
Like, of course, I'm going to buy that one.
Like,
I just gotta have the best one, the best version of the best game ever. Why would I not pick it?
What do you get for it versus the base package? I haven't bought a video game, and I shit you not, probably 5 years.
When's the last, outside of Clash of Clans, when's the last time you played a video game? Because for me, dude, it was that one single day we hopped on. Maybe you weren't even with me. I think I was with Ike or
I wasn't.
I played like maybe 18 months ago. And before that, if you count Minecraft, I played like 2 years ago. But if you count before that, we're talking 4 or 5 years since I've played like a COD or a Fortnite.
I got out and played World of Tanks like a few months ago for like 30 minutes or so.
It's so sad, dude. Yeah. I just wish I had time to play, but I don't.
I don't really miss it a whole lot, to be honest with you.
Oh, dude, I do.
Well, I miss it back then, but it's not like something I wish I had more time to do now, if that makes sense. Like I miss playing back in college with the guys. Like that was a lot of fun, obviously. But I don't wish I had more time to play it right now. It's just
I wish I had like 2 hours a week, and realistically, I do. But like I just prioritize other things, and that's what's sad. That's what's sad to me.
But anyway, I might get this game.
Is this game?
Oh wait, no, I don't think I can because it's
make a league.
I only have an Xbox One. And they're not making it for Xbox One.
It's not even made for Xbox One.
You're going to have to bump that up.
We're screwed because that's what I have.
You need the Series X to get that one.
I couldn't have even told you what the new console was named.
Isn't it Xbox One X? Yeah,
what PS? Are they on PS6 now?
We're on PS5.
Five. Okay. Well, that solidifies it. I won't be playing it.
But I will be playing it. I'm very excited. I'm going to.
Can you play it on PC?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, then maybe I have a shot. Maybe I'll buy it on PC.
It should be fun. It looks really good. It's like it's very detailed. They got everything in it basically besides
the graphics look insane.
There was a couple promotional clips or flip throughs I saw. Iowa happened to be in one of them with our overall rating of 85. Defense is rated a 94, offense a 71. How do we feel about those ratings?
I think the defense should be higher.
I'll be honest, 71 seems high for offense. 94, maybe a point or two too low.
Well, usually in these games, they don't rank like it. You got to be really bad to get anything below a 70 in terms of like team rankings. Right. Like it's got to be crazy.
Well, but you mean overall?
Yeah. Well,
we're an 85.
No, you said 71.
Has everyone got a chance to see like their roster ratings or anything yet?
Have not.
There was one guy who was upset because it was they did like a gameplay trailer and they were like showing how you could sub out players and it said that he was a 55 overall.
Yeah,
he was like, "Are you serious?"
That's tough. Casey, I know Casey Kreider every year when Madden comes out. He's like, God damn it, I'm a 38. They make the long snappers like 38s.
Well, it's because they probably only give me like good long snapping score and give you shitty thing, everything else like shitty power, shitty.
But it's not true. Thing. Like those, you know, like there's a long snapper in the league that is
shitty pass accuracy, pass power.
Well, that's true. Passing or like something
shitty
like that. But
tackling, shitty defensive
tackling should be decent. I mean, there's long snappers can tackle in the league.
But yeah, it brings your average down to a 38.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't. You're going to have to be our correspondent on this one, Grant. You're gonna have to be the one.
You're gonna have to.
Let's just say game comes out July 19th. My attendance on the podcast is gonna be spotty after that. I'm taking a vacation that day.
You should do. Does the walk-ons have a Twitch stream? You should stream for the walk-on.
We could.
I was gonna say we're gonna hit some. I think we're gonna do some Coach Grant streams on the walk-on YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't. Maybe we'll do something to help raise subscribers there.
We can do. You can make that a weekly thing where like you just flip it on for an hour. And you just stream
Coach Grant.
Yeah, Coach Grant Thursday.
Successor to Kirk Ferentz taking over the Hawkeye program. Everyone thought it was going to be, LeVar Woods. No, it was
Grant Allen all along.
Yeah.
It was always going to be Grant Allen.
And yes, and if you thought I wasn't going to bring Petrus back, you're wrong.
We got an incoming transfer from Utah State.
Yeah, is transfer portal and everything is going to be a thing in this game?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like Madden? You're going to have to manage a salary cap?
Here, Kevin, you're going to love this. On like if you do a individual player, you can be academically ineligible for a game.
Wow.
You gotta be locked in.
You have to play. Do you have to fucking take tests in this game?
I don't know how they're gonna do it. They got like it.
All right, before you play this game, you gotta pass a calculus.
Say, like, oh geez,
you have an anatomy exam.
Thursday before the game, you got a test, and then there's a fight with your girlfriend later after the test that you got to deal with. So.
So does it get physical? Is there domestic abuse in this thing? What's going on?
There's a lot.
You have to run from the cops at the break up the party on Saturday night, or what?
You got to avoid the DUI.
You got to spin move out of a cop tackle, or what?
You got to circle.
But they did say NIL is a part of it, and you recruit players in the game, and you're gonna like. I'm definitely gonna lose a player or two because we're not giving them a Rolex or something crazy.
That's tough.
Like Dion already took three recruits from me, and the game hasn't even started yet.
That's funny. I have down the article and story that broke, you know, like last week at this point, 2 weeks ago, about the $2.8 billion payout and all the. But I think I have to get more details on this, and I might even. I've been wanting to bring on Scott Docterman to the show, and this might be a good one, not just to get his backstory, him on the Iowa beat, all that is Scott Docterman, but I think he'd be a good one to kind of then segue into the conversation of what this NCAA payout / new rules means for potentially.
I've talked to a few people close to the athletic department, and they said that there is absolutely I shouldn't say, but. People have no idea what's going to happen.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Like, it's just that's the issue, is that NCAA has always been the governing body. Now they're just giving up and paying out a bunch of money, and they're like basically they're putting down another layer of the we don't really have any teeth. We're all bark, no bite.
I think this is kind of a stepping stone to like get there, is but they've got to relinquish a lot of, you know, I'm going to say power, but it's like they got to start giving the student athletes rights in order to be able to like have a governing board or something like that and enforce some rules or something. I don't know.
Are you excited for the Buffalo Wild Wings gift card that we're going to be getting in the mail?
You think it's going to be Buffalo Wild Wings? I was thinking it's going to be at Arby's at best.
I would take Arby's. All right, dude, if I got $73 to Arby's, I'd be forever grateful.
All right, so you know how it said in the article that it's going to – that
snap count, stars.
Snap count and stars are going to be are being floated around for rationale of how to pay out these former players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think I read that it's only – there's like 15,000 players or something like that.
I saw 10,000. 10,000 athletes would be affected.
If you do $2.8 billion divided by 10,000, it's a lot of money.
Can I get a math thing on that? But you know guys like Tristan or Josie are going to be getting like they're going to be getting
1,000.
They're Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
2.8 billion. Wow,
billion with a B is a big ass number,
dude. Are we going to get a are you and me going to get a couple G's out of this thing?
Also, this is one thing I also don't know. So it backtracks to 2016.
Yes.
Does it matter how many years that you played in that period, right? So like we only have 16 and 17. Would someone who played 16, 17, 18, 19 get more than
I'm guessing yes.
You think so, right?
I'm guessing yes.
So
that hurts. That hurts
us. That hurts. The zero stars hurt.
The snap counts hurt.
The snap counts hurt.
However, you got like 20 plays a game. I was rocking like 9 or 10 plays a game. That's better than a lot of people who rode the bench.
Oh, 100%. I'd say in 17, I averaged, because I started the one game, I averaged 25 to 30 plays.
Hell yeah, brother.
So.
Dude, we might.
Zero stars still hurts.
But how are they realistically going to go back through and have a team of 50 people be like, hey, all right, we need to go and collect all the information on stars and snap counts for these, which by the way, how does that work when it brings in the female athletes? Like,
and I read in the article, most of the money is going to D1 basketball and football.
So it is, it's partitioned in the way that you would break it up versus basically revenue.
Yes.
Like the they're going to break it up to.
Because that was the lawsuits that.
It was those athletes who
deprived us of our monetary value.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Dude, we might get a little chunk of change, bro.
So it's like it comes out to $280,000 per athlete. If you take that $15,000 number, then I got to imagine the lawyers taking 20%.
For sure. Good for them, by the way, on that.
Yeah. I'd say we get like $5,000 at the most.
Dude, if I get $1,000 out of this, you bet your ass I'm putting it on black. I'm going straight to the casino and it's going on black, dude.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I'd say it's probably going to be around that.
What do you think? Somebody like Josie, though, could get 25 G's.
He might get more.
50
I mean,
G's.
That 280 is an average. So he'd be at the high end of that. Except except 2 stars. So
you know what's bullshit, though?
Yeah.
Is he don't need it.
Yeah, 100%.
We should get him to give it to us. He should be a charitable guy and donate that to the podcast, honestly. It's Josie. I know you listen to the show. About
Josie's money on this.
Josie, I'm pocket watching like it's my job, and I need you to be a charitable human being and donate your share of this NCAA lawsuit to the podcast. And if you don't, you're an asshole. That's just the facts, and I don't make the rules. Is what it is.
That'd be interesting. So I think a judge still has to sign off on the agreement, and then we have to sign up for the class, and then we'll find out probably.
Yep.
6 months after. It's also paid out over the course of 10 years.
That's unfortunate.
So, yeah, you're not going to get that $1,000. You're going to get $100 for the next 10 years. So
I'm going
to
put it
every July 1st, you can go to the casino and put it on.
I'm going to put it in an envelope and let it collect to be $1,000. And then I'm going to go. And that's actually not true. I will put it in investments. I'll earn 10% year over year on that. And then by the time I get it in 10 years, it's actually going to be $1,100.
So instead of putting on black, we're going to put it on some highly leveraged options, and it's going to be just as much as putting it on black.
Yes.
Just as much gambling. Yeah.
Some NVIDIA options. I don't know. It's a Kate Martin podcast, Caitlin Clark podcast, NCAA payout podcast. And Kevin, you're actually going to be a guest. I want to finish with this. You're going to be a guest coach at the old rally for,
Oh yeah, yeah. I got I was told to shout us out. Yeah. So our
buddy, I tried to get him on. I tried to bring Jake on and be like,
hey. I tried to get him on too. He's too good for us.
He says the washed up walk-ons fans are sick of this washed up walk-on, and I think that was either he thinks very lowly of himself, or he just doesn't want to be on the show and doesn't want to tell us that he's not interested. Which I'd rather just be like, dude, I don't want to fucking come on your show, you know.
It's probably the latter.
It's the latter. But we'll mention his camp anyway because it's a cool deal.
Yes, yes, yes. Jake is the head coach for the Rally for Reed Foundation camp going on June
21st, I think.
It's a Friday, June 21st, over in Davenport, I believe, at the old Davenport Assumption Field, the old stomping grounds of Jake Gervais. I will be a coach with a number of other former Hawkeyes. So I think it's grades one through eight, maybe.
I think you can still sign up if you want.
Yeah, if you want to sign up, I think there's still spots available. And so it goes for a great cause. All the money goes to the Children's Hospital and Reed's memory. So it's a great cause, and Jake puts a whole lot of work into it, and happy to be a part of it. So if you're able to donate to it, it's a great cause. Or if you want to come out and bring your kid out for a day and get coached by some former Hawkeyes and some NFL players, it's a fun time.
So Jake actually donates the money and it doesn't go to his tiny house operation?
I think he does take about 80% of it to his tiny house operation.
A small 95% of the revenue, and he puts it straight into his tiny house materials.
No, they do a good job. There are some very scummy nonprofits out there that take 90% of all donations, but no, this is the good operation run by good people.
So if you got time on June 21st and you got a kid and they want to meet some Hawks and play some football, have some fun for a good cause, there you go. Any other words before we wrap it up tonight, boys?
We forgot to mention that Iowa is a tier one school.
Ah, yes. Yes. What is that for?
That's how
schools are making money off of this game as well.
Yeah. That's how EA, who makes the college football game, is going to pay out the schools, and the tier one schools are going to make the most money.
And that was based on like wins over the last 10 years and
AP poll appearances in the past 10 years.
And the Hawks are like one of like 10 or 11 tier one schools.
There are, it's not as many as the other tiers. That's what I will say. I don't know how many.
We were like the final tier one school, I think.
Hey, I mean, we're still tier one though. And conveniently all the haters are not in tier one. So I'm just, hey, you know,
just something to think about, you know.
Can't hear you down there. That's all I'm saying.
I'll actually leave you guys with this. Yesterday I had dinner with my in-laws. We went to a great establishment here in Waukee. Waukee actually lacks a lot of sit-down restaurants that are really good. It's interesting.
I feel like it's a very much a franchise type of town.
Hardly
a bunch of franchise.
Yeah, there's, you know, they have all the fast foods, right? But it's much more like neighborhood based. There's just a lot of people and not a lot of like business or industry in Waukee. It's very small town feelish. It's growing very fast, but there's just not a lot of sit down restaurants. Barntown happens to be one of the popular ones. We went there and I saw a guy in an Iowa State t-shirt, and I've seen them joke about this or like kind of use it as their mantra on Twitter. I didn't know it was like this solidified. He actually had a t-shirt with the licensed Iowa State logo on it that said five-star culture. What? Really? That's what you're hanging your hat on, huh? I don't see it. I don't know about it.
It's a weird thing to put on a shirt, but
good for them.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what tier
I think they were in like tier four or three.
They were in tier three.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what tier Nebraska was in?
The last one.
They were in tier four. But hey, that, you know what? They can say they're a blue blood, but they are a tier four. It's a tier four. I didn't make the rules. I didn't make the rules. I'm sorry.
By the way, a couple other things came out for the Hawks schedule before we leave here. The Hawks will play a night game against UCLA in the Rose Bowl.
The Hawks also have a night game to cap off the season versus the
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
The tier four Cornhuskers, yeah.
So schedule.
Next time we see Searles, we just gotta call him the tier four.
The tier four,
yeah. Tier four Cornhuskers.
We absolutely will do that. We're gonna get him back on before, as we preview the season in a couple months. But
if there's a Rutgers has an 11:30 p.m. kickoff.
What?
Excuse me.
It's at USC, but the game won't kick off until 11:30.
So it's like 8:30 local
Western time.
No, the game in Piscataway. Fans will be watching the game at 11:30 p.m.
So, okay. Oh, okay. So it's 7:30 start time in California.
Yes.
And it's an 11:30 or 8:30. And it's 11:30 back home on the East Coast.
Yes.
So their fans are going to have to start this game at midnight on the TV.
Yeah, they're going to be up with Hawaii.
This is Pac-12 after dark.
Big 10 after dark.
Rutgers Big 10 after dark.
Dude, that's mean. That is actually mean because you got to fly back after that game. You don't. I mean, do you just stay the night in USC, then fly back Sunday morning? But then you're getting back at Sunday night.
I imagine that some of these West Coast games are going to change the travel schedule of teams off of their norm.
Okay, but seriously, that game's going to end at 3 damn near midnight Pacific time, right?
East Coast, yeah, 3 a.m. East Coast time.
What about the equipment?
I mean, if you're taking a morning flight, like you're saying, like, oh, we're going to get our guys up, like, 7 hours of sleep, maybe 6 hours of sleep. So you're leaving at, let's call it 8 a.m. the next morning, 6 hour flight, 3 hour time change. You land in New Jersey at like 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
They got school in the morning.
They got school the next day. You missed your entire day of meetings. So the other option is you leave at 3 a.m. and then you're getting back at 10 a.m. on Sunday. You probably still you don't have meetings that day, right?
Like, I think you have to still leave right after the game and just take it. Just bend over.
I think you got to cancel your Sunday meetings, right?
I think you have to cancel Monday classes.
It's actually legitimate.
And they better put ice baths on the plane, too. They're going to have to figure something out.
When you imagine being on a plane for 6 hours
after
3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Not good.
After a football game?
After 76 plays on defense?
Kill me.
Dude, that sounds awful.
Oh, my God. It sounds horrible. That's torture. That's bad.
That's not good.
When does the equipment truck driver have to leave to get from Piscataway to LA?
Oh, fuck.
The week before. The week before. He's leaving immediately after the last game.
That's got to be at least a 40-hour drive.
It's not close.
Jesus. Right. All right. A lot to think about. The scheduling stuff. More will continue to come out as we obviously get deeper into the summer. It's interesting. All this conference realignment is coming to fruition here. We're going to see the fruits of that labor, if you'll call it that. And hopefully Kate Martin continues to ball. And this is just a Las Vegas Aces podcast and a Fever podcast. And is what it is.
2,868 miles, one day and 16 hours of driving.
Jesus Christ. Good luck, Scarlet Knights. We'll talk to you guys next time. Till then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.